And I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 is our text. We're going to be looking at a few verses today, but I had a message I just wanted to encourage us today in a time of uncertainty, a time of instability, a time when it seems like the world we live on is changing right under our feet. I would like to speak today about the God we serve who never changes. In Hebrews 13:8, the Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. The fact is, the Lord we serve never changes. Now, this particular passage is one of several in the Bible that declares an essential truth, an essential fact about the God we serve, that even though everything else changes in the world, God doesn't change. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord we serve, is unchanging. He's always the same. He's ever the same. This sets forth a doctrine. Well, we build doctrine from what the Bible teaches. See, you don't just have doctrines, but you have what the Bible teaches. Doctrine means teaching. So the Bible teaches what we call, or we set forth as a fundamental Christian doctrine, a truth called the immutability of God. Immutable. We say God is immutable. And we build it, or we get this belief, this doctrine, from this passage and several others that we're going to look at this morning. But when we say God is immutable, it means He never changes, He never alters, He never varies. When something is mutable, if it's mutable, that means it changes. You may hear every now and then somebody speak about our mutable weather patterns. Now, what's as stable as the weather? No, when they talk about mutable weather, it means the weather's always changing, always vacillating, up and down. You never know what it's going to be. Who expected this when you walked outdoors this morning? Mutable weather. You may talk about or hear about the mutable ways of fortune. Some people who were rich a year ago lost everything they had in the stock market. Mutable ways of fortune. Some people invested millions with this guy, Bernard Madoff. They found out he made off with their money. You'll hear about our mutable foreign policy as a nation. Nothing seems to stay the same. But God, who is not changing, not mutable, not vacillating, not altering, not shifting, not reversing himself, God is immutable. In all the universe, only God is immutable. I was thinking about what I was going to share this morning, I thought about an old song I used to sing when I was a kid. I mean, this is a teenager, okay? The Young Rascals. You remember these guys? The Young Rascals, they were the United States answer to the Beatles, I guess you'd say. But the Young Rascals sang a song, How Can I Be Sure? And the beginning of it's like this. How can I be sure in a world that's constantly changing? How can I be sure where I stand with you? Now, you know, you could ask that about God if you didn't know that He was immutable. He never changed. How can I be sure where I stand with God? How can I be sure in a constantly changing world? Well, God doesn't change. Everything else changes. Our fashions change. You'd look ridiculous, guys, if you walked in a polyester suit that was plaid with a big, fat, wide tie and lapels that came all the way out to here. But that's what everybody wore in the 70s. Probably will come back, yeah. These things usually do. Things change. I mean, they change quickly, too. It doesn't take long for styles to change, fashions to change. That old car Brother Vic drives, that was a nice car when I sold it to him, by the way. But I wish you'd look at it today. 200,000 miles later. It doesn't take long for things to change, that's for sure. You want to see how quickly things change? Look at your high school yearbook. In fact, you don't even have to look that far back. You can look at the last church directory we put out and you can find out that things change pretty quick. Doesn't take all that long either. You'll want people who are here that are not here and people who are there not here and so on. But listen, God is immutable. Let's look at a couple of passages. Keep your finger right here. But I would like for us to actually look. I want our eyes to see a few verses of Scripture that declare the immutability of God. We're going to go to Malachi 3, first of all. Malachi 3. Y'all awake? In a changing world, God never changes. He is immutable. It's interesting just how dramatically our world really is changing. The Bible speaks of God as a rock. You know, he's compared to a mountain. Mountains seem like they never change because maybe the sea next to a mountain may change. You might sail out on that sea, like in the Sea of Galilee next to the mountains. You sail out on that sea, it could be calm as it could be. But on the way back, it could be as rough as could be. The mountain seems like it just doesn't change. It's just always there. Rock-like, the Bible says God is a rock. The fact is the mountains change too. They really do change. They change, they decay, they crumble. You have to be careful driving around them. You'll see signs, watch for falling rocks because the mountains are falling down. The mountains shift and shake and tremble. Volcanic eruptions blow up and change things. Mountains change. They may change slower than things around them, but they change. In fact, everything at all, everything there is changes. They keep talking about our polar ice caps changing, melting, oceans changing, rising, warming, and so on. Climate change, and the deserts change, the sand shifts, and so on and so forth. People change, people age. So I saw somebody this past week that I haven't seen for 20 years. And they looked me right in the eye and shook my hand and said, "Man, you haven't changed a bit." I said, "Right." You know, and to myself, I'm saying, "Right. Right. I'm 20 years older, 40 pounds heavier, black hair that's now salt and pepper, wrinkles, bags under these eyes, and you haven't changed a bit. You look just like you did 20 years." I know they were being polite, but the fact is, I changed a whole lot. The mirror shows me how much I've changed. We're all changing, but God doesn't change. Malachi 3 and verse 6 says, "For I am the Lord. I am the Lord, I change not." I don't change. God is unchanging. He is immutable. "Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." He's telling Israel, the only reason you are not consumed is because I don't change. You see, all the way back in Genesis, he made a covenant. He made a covenant with Abraham that he would have a nation, that he would bless them, that he would multiply them, that he would put them in their land. And even though they sinned, and even though they betrayed the Lord and apostatized and so forth, this is what God says. The only reason you exist is because I don't change. That's why you children of Jacob, the people of Israel, that's why you are not consumed in God's wrath and his fury. Because he made a promise all the way back to Abraham, and he's going to keep his word. See, God keeps his word. That's why they were not consumed. Now, "I am the Lord," he says, "I change not." I'm going to read another passage. This one in Numbers chapter 23. This one should be familiar, I think, to most of us. Numbers 23. I'm going to read verse 19. Numbers 23:19. Y'all know where I'm going, don't you? But I want everybody to see it. I want everybody to read it. There's just something that comes alive in our hearts when we read it, when we see it, when we recognize that this is what God says. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. He's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He's not like us, in other words. You'd be amazed what some people do with verses like this. God is not a man, therefore it must be a woman. But the Bible's telling us that God is not like us. He's not a man. He's not human. He's not just a great big one of us up in the sky. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? So here we see that we have an immutable God, and if God never changes, that means his word, his promises never change. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. I take it back. We say things, sometimes things we don't mean, sometimes things we do mean, but we know we shouldn't have said it anyway. Sometimes we say things in haste, say things in anger. Sometimes we make promises that we doubt if we can keep when we say it, and then when we can't keep it, we find a thousand excuses. But God doesn't make promises he won't keep. He's not like us. Hello. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? So if he makes us a promise, you can count on it. If he makes us a promise, you can trust in him. Because he's not going to change. He's not going to change his mind. He's not going to take it back. Right? Amen. Another passage. This one in James. I want you to look with me to the New Testament book of James. We're going to read chapter 1. Read a verse over here. James 1 and verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. God doesn't change. He doesn't vacillate. He doesn't change his mind. No variableness, neither shadow of turning. God doesn't change, even in a world that's changing all around us. Now look, this should be of tremendous comfort to us. This means we can forever count on God to be the same. It's not like you can pray, oh, I'm praying to the great triune God, and God doesn't answer and say, oh, no, I'm not triune anymore. Now I'm a quadruple. We added the mother to the Trinity, and now there's four of us. And you know what? We're thinking about adding a daughter. Every now and then I hear weird things, you know, about people who want to add to the Godhead, but God doesn't change, beloved. He's eternally Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No variableness with him. No shadow of turning. That's sort of a reference to a sundial. Most people see references to sundials there with the shadows always moving around. God doesn't do that. He's forever the same. That's the idea. And when it says there's no variance, no shadow of turning, God therefore is not fickle. God therefore is not moody. God therefore is not unpredictable. I want you to think about this. What if God was at all like us? I think back years ago to my father-in-law before he became a Christian. My father-in-law was a tough guy. I mean, ex-Marine, truck driver, barroom brawler, tough guy. And he was one of those kind of people that if you needed to ask him a question or break some kind of news to him, you better get him in a good mood. So if something broke around the house, like if the dishwasher broke, God forbid the dishwasher breaks, or the washing machine, or something like that, because that means my mother-in-law had to tell him. And you better get him in a good mood. Because somehow, if something broke, it was your fault. It's not like things normally wear out. He just the personality he had. Unfortunately, that's the way he was. Explosive. And when he exploded, you better run. Well, I can remember very well the dishwasher broke, and my mother-in-law didn't know how to tell him because he could just go off. So she would try to fix something that he would really want to eat. Everybody would be nice, be kind, try to get him in a good mood so that somehow or another you could break the news to him that the dishwasher broke and you actually have a request, you need a little extra money to get the dishwasher fixed. What if God was like that? Now, maybe you can't identify with a person like that, but there are some people who can't take it if something breaks, something goes wrong, they can't cope. Look, life is all about coping. It's about coping. You have to cope with the situation you're in. You don't explode about it. You don't pout about it. You don't get moody. You don't blame God. You don't blame others. You cope. You trust the Lord and you deal with it. You get through the crisis and you go on with the Lord, right? You just deal with it. Lord, you give us the grace to deal with the situation we're in right now. Quit pointing the finger. Quit blaming somebody. Quit accusing, quit blaming God, deal with the situation, trust the Lord, and get through it. What if, I don't know if you ever had a boss that you had to ask him for a raise or a day off. You needed a particular day off. And they were moody and grumpy. You say, I can't ask him today. So you try to find the right day, the right moment, the right hour to make your request. I need Thursday off, or I need a week off of vacation, because you don't know, they're liable to jump on you and rail on you. What if we didn't know that God never changed, that he was immutable? What if we thought, I hope God's in a good mood today. I sure hope he's not in a bad mood. I hope he's not depressed today. I read a book from a preacher. We won't talk about who he is. Famous TV preacher, but he wrote a book about going to heaven, and in the book he met Jesus in heaven, and Jesus was having a bad day. Yeah, Jesus was depressed, and so he said he laid his hands on Jesus and just to minister some comfort to him. He said, Jesus needs our comfort. The God of all comfort being comforted by us. You know, I wonder what Bible do they read, but that's another story for another day. The Lord is ever the same. And you know what? When I read the Bible says that you and I should be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and thanksgiving, we can make our request known unto God. That means you can pray any time of the day or night. You can pray and he will hear your request. You don't have to try and get him in a good mood. You don't have to try and butter him up. Right? The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, having therefore boldness. Having therefore boldness, brethren, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We have boldness. You don't have to wait and see if God's in a good mood before you can go before his presence to pray. You have boldness. You have free access. You have confidence to go before God any day, any night, any hour, for any need. We have that boldness. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. You can come before that throne of grace, the Bible says, boldly, confidently, knowing God will hear you. He will receive you. Because we go, of course, in Christ's name. He gives us access to the very throne of God in heaven. We don't go in our own righteousness or our own name, but we go in the name of Jesus. Isn't it good to know that you have that liberty? You know why you have that liberty? Because God doesn't change. He didn't change. What gave you access to His ear, to His throne, to His presence 2,000 years ago is the same thing that gives you access to God right now. He didn't change. There's no new rules. Now listen, this is what enables us to have strong faith. Amen. The fact that there are no new rules. That just the way God set it out, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. That's the way it is for us today. No shadow of turning, no variableness, the Bible says. Time, the passage of time, does not affect anything in regards to God, in regards to our faith. It doesn't affect a thing. Time affects everything else, you and me and our clothes and the cars you drive. But time doesn't affect God. God is bigger than time. He's outside of time. God created time. I mean, time is a created thing. It's finite. Time is just a measurement of the Earth's rotation on its axis. It's a measurement of the Earth spinning around the sun in its annual cycle, right? That's all time is. God put all that in place when He threw the sun and moon and stars out there in space. And they too are affected. You know, they're aging and decaying and so forth. I read where our sun is going to eventually burn out. Yeah, maybe a few billion years from now. God's going to blow that candle out long before then, anyway. But God, who is eternal, is outside of time, greater than time, unaffected by time. So that means time means nothing to Him like it does to you and me. He doesn't change, and that's the point. I have yet another passage. Y'all still with me? Psalms 102. Let's turn over here. Psalms 102. Just a few verses that set forth this vital biblical doctrine of God's immutability. He does not change. Here's a perfect illustration of what we've just said, that God is immutable and unchanging. In Psalms 102, we'll begin beginning in verse 25. Psalms 102:25. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. He's a workman. God's a creator. He did it. It didn't evolve. It didn't just happen by chance. It's the work of God's hands. Right? It's the work of His hands. And notice what verse 26 says about the heavens, the universe, the star, moon, skies, galaxies. The Bible says, they shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture, like old clothes, shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. God's going to change even the universe. You know, we're going to get a new heavens and a new earth. He's going to change them just like you change your clothes. Run in, change that blouse, or run in and put on a fresh pair of pants. God's going to change the whole universe just that easily. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end, because He is eternal. He's not like us. But in all the universe, keep in mind, in all the universe, only God is eternal. In all the universe, only God is immutable. Everything else created changes. Everything else. I've seen people change. It's sad, but sometimes people get older and they get bitter. You ever seen somebody just get old and get bitter? They get old, they become a grumpy old man or a cruel-tongued old woman, bitter, angry at the world. It's sad to see people grow old and grow mean and unnecessary. Sometimes people grow older and it's like the devil attacks their memory and they can't remember. Can't remember faces and names. Sometimes forget the very people that they love. It's good to know that God won't forget you. He won't forget you. He won't forget your name. He won't forget your face. He knows right where you live. He knows your address. God will never forget. He won't forget. I spoke to someone recently, someone I've known for many, 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 many years, and told them who I was. And this is a person who's suffering with the beginnings of Alzheimer's. And they said, "Your name sounds familiar, but just can't place your face." It's heartbreaking when you see the devil stealing people's memories. They can't remember. It's good to know that 2,000 years after the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, it's still true. And that he hasn't forgotten you. And he never will. He never will. He is immutable. He hasn't lost. This is something else that's important. He hasn't lost any of his power in 2,000 years. His power is undiminished. Now, you and I, we grow older and we tend to lose some of our vitality, right? We lose some of our energy. We lose some of our strength. And I'll tell you something else I noticed that as you grow older, sometimes you lose. You lose interest in certain things. You bump into people. I knew a guy who was an avid fisherman, and said, "You've been fishing?" He said, "No, I just don't do that anymore. I'm just kind of lost interest." That happens. It happens. Sure, you can lose interest in your gardening, or lose interest in your hunting or fishing or whatever your hobby used to be. God doesn't lose his strength, and he doesn't lose interest. He doesn't lose interest in you. It's not like, "Well, I don't care about him anymore. I gave up on that one long ago. I don't even want to be bothered with them anymore." He hasn't lost his power, hasn't lost his interest, hasn't lost his concern. You know, he was concerned for people, right? 2,000 years ago, he was concerned for people. The Bible says he was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes. He hasn't lost that compassion. So he hasn't changed. He hasn't changed one iota. In the biblical doctrine, when the theologians set forth the doctrine of immutability, one of the things that they declare and they emphasize is the fact that God is immutable, and this goes right along with other vital biblical doctrines or what we know about God, and that is, you know, he's eternal, that he's perfect, that God is absolutely perfect. You see, if God can change, then he's not perfect. If he can grow stronger, that means he wasn't omnipotent to begin with. He did not possess all power. Omnipotence means all power. He possesses all power. He cannot grow stronger, because if he could grow stronger, that means he wasn't omnipotent to begin with. He cannot grow wiser, because if he can grow wiser, then he was not omniscient to begin with. He didn't know everything. Right? You might be surprised, but some concepts of God, even in Mormonism, they believe that God is evolving, that God is growing wiser and more powerful and stronger, that God is morphing into a more powerful being, a more knowing being. But that means they don't serve the God of the Bible. Because the God of the Bible is perfect in wisdom. He cannot get any smarter because he possesses all knowledge. He cannot get any stronger. He possesses all strength. There is nothing greater than omnipotence. Right? He cannot grow any holier because that would imply that he was not perfect in holiness. Right? He cannot get more loving because that would indicate his love wasn't absolutely perfect. And being that he is not only omnipotent, omniscient, perfect in all of his attributes, but he is immutable, so that means none of these attributes can diminish. He never grows weaker. He never loses love. He never loses interest. You know, like I talked about the fellow who lost interest. He doesn't lose interest. He doesn't lose his compassion. He's immutable. Now, that is strong confidence. That is a stronghold for our faith to hold on to. God doesn't change. Now, when you read Hebrews 13:8, because we read what the Bible says about God's immutability. We read it Numbers 23:19. He doesn't lie. He's not like a man. We read it Malachi 3:6. I'm the Lord, I change not. We read it in Psalms 102. He never changes. He's ever the same. Now, when you read it in Hebrews 13:8, and it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, this is just another passage that declares the complete deity of Christ, because in all the universe, only God is immutable. Only God never changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is immutable because he is God yesterday, today, and forever. Now, that means a lot to me, and I'll tell you why. It should mean a lot to all of us. When the Lord walked this earth 2,000 years ago, he was not only moved with compassion by what he saw, but he took action. And he healed the sick. And he delivered the oppressed. Is that not correct? You read the gospel records and you see Jesus in action. You see every place he went, it's like he waged war against sickness, against human suffering. He waged war against those who were oppressed and depressed and vexed and beat up by the devil and the world. Jesus was at war with a wicked world that made people sick. And my Bible tells me he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. My Bible tells me that he hasn't changed. That means he is still hostile towards sickness. He's still hostile towards the work of the devil. He still has an open hostility towards oppression, vexation, demonization. Those things are not our friends. Those things are not sent to us by God. Now, he may allow them, and obviously he does. We live in a fallen world and a broken world, and it's a broken planet. He may allow them, but we are never to think that this is God's gift to us. We are to always oppose it. Always oppose what Jesus opposed. Come on. We're supposed to oppose what Jesus opposed. We're supposed to fight what he fought. The Bible says, Matthew 8:17, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, and by his stripes we are healed. He bare our sins on that cross, beloved. Mark 16, he says, believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. James 5, 14 and 15, any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. They'll anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. Now look, that's not changed. That has not changed. There are no expiration dates on those verses. The Bible says just the opposite. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If the prayer of faith would heal the sick 2,000 years ago, it ought to heal the sick today. And if it doesn't, then I say something's wrong with us. Because there's nothing wrong with God. He hasn't changed. His power is no, it's not like he's diminished in power. His compassions are new every morning. It's not like he's changed there. He's still concerned. He's still all powerful. He can still heal the sick, right? So if the sick aren't getting healed, maybe we're not praying. Maybe we're not praying in faith. Maybe we're just accepting, maybe we're not expecting anything to change. I believe we ought to come into prayer with great expectation. And just believe God to make a difference in our lives, our health, our finances, our families. He has given us exceeding great and precious promises, the Bible says. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I mean, he healed every kind of sickness. He healed leprosy. He healed leprosy. What's more loathsome than leprosy? If he healed leprosy, he can certainly heal cancer. He healed paralysis. I mean, the paralyzed walked. Now, I recognize that this was Jesus doing the healing. I recognize that he operated in what we could call absolutely perfect faith. Right? I mean, if Jesus prayed for somebody, they got well. I know his faith was perfect. And I'm the first to admit mine's not. That doesn't change the promise. It doesn't change the promise. There may be things that he works out in our lives and is working out in our lives. But I believe that God is honored when we trust him and dishonored when we don't. Honored when we call upon him and dishonored when we fail to. He has not grown cold or callous. He has not aged and grown mean. Come on. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What was true then is true today. He healed everything from a fever, an infection, to even, he raised the dead. And everything in between. Healed everything in between. And while he obviously is God in the flesh and therefore operating, when I say operating, just his faith was absolutely perfect because he is perfect, yet isn't he the example we're supposed to follow? Isn't his teaching, isn't his example what we're supposed to base our lives on? And if he waged war against these ravages, shouldn't we have that same hostility towards them? So don't befriend some affliction and think, well, this is my friend and I'm just stuck with this for the rest of my life. I would encourage you to fight sickness, disease, arthritis, infirmity, every other kind of ism, schism, pain, suffering thing. Fight it. Don't just surrender to it. Fight it. Hold on to the promise of God. Look, Lord, you said, by your stripes we are healed. Lord, this is what you said. And Lord, I know what you said. You're not a man that you should lie. You are not a man that you should lie. What you said you'll do, you'll keep your word. Lord, this is what you said. And Lord, I'm going to believe this with all the faith I have, as imperfect as my faith is. And I ask you to strengthen my faith, that it just grows in grace and power and that you enable me to appropriate all the blessings that you have for me. Psalms 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Call upon me in the day of trouble. You know what? That hasn't changed one bit either. I looked these verses up. They were still there. Psalms 32:7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Or how about Psalms 91 and verse 15? He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. You know, if the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that means He is forever our intercessor. He is forever our mediator. He is forever the hearer of our prayers. He will forever hear our plea. He is forever our good shepherd, who will forever lead us to fresh water and green pastures and places of safety. Last week, I shared on the prodigal son, the son who fell into the deepest kind of sin and squandered away his possessions, and squandered away his life, really, sinned away his heritage, was a perfect picture of an ungrateful, undeserving sinner. I mean, a perfect picture of an ungrateful, undeserving sinner. I think many people would have thought that this prodigal son, far away in a faraway land in a pig pen, that he was so far gone he was unredeemable, unpardonable, too late for him, couldn't be saved, couldn't be changed, his sins unforgivable. But we see in those passages that God's grace found him all the way back there in that pig pen. God extended his arm to him and brought him out. It's encouragement to us to never give up, never quit, never stop praying for our loved ones. God can reach him in the pig pen. God can reach him in the drug den. God can reach him in the lion's den. God can reach him in the prison pen. God can reach him wherever they are. We're to never stop praying because, look, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know something else? The Bible tells us repeatedly, he's no respecter of persons. No respecter of persons. That means just what it says. It means that he doesn't show favoritism. That's what it means. He doesn't show favoritism. The Bible talks about us. You know, we should be very careful. We don't show favoritism. Oh, wait, somebody just started coming to the church that has a lot of money. Let's give them a front row seat. Sorry, y'all going to have to move because this guy's got more money than y'all. We want him to sit on the front row. We want him to have the best seat. That's being a respecter of persons, right? Oh, look, this person has a lot of money. We're going to make them a deacon. Because if they know we need money, they got plenty. That's being a respecter of persons. God's not like that. He doesn't show favoritism. That means you and me, who are just, in the eyes of the world, peons, nobodies, undistinguishable from anybody else, you and I have the exact same access to the throne of God, the ear of God, the heart of God, as anybody else. So this God who never changes, who never alters, whose compassions never fail, who's still the same yesterday, today, and forever, is still no respecter of persons. So that means you don't have to think, you know what, I really can't pray with that kind of expectation because I don't give enough to the church, or I'm not good enough, or I don't pray enough, or I don't read the Bible enough. You know, the fact of the matter is the Lord loves you right where you are. Right where you are, he loves you. Even, I mean, if he'll reach into the pig pen, Won't he reach into his own house, into his own children? Let's remember, you are his child. You are his child. I wish my children would be in more contact with me. I wish I saw them more often. I wish I heard from them more often. Now, their mama talks to them all the time, but I don't always get to talk to them. I wish I saw my grandkids more often. But whenever I hear from them, it's always a delight. Always a delight. Let me hear one of them little squeaky voices. Hi, Papa. I just melted. Let me hear one of those little squeaky voices. Well, you have a Father in heaven who loves you infinitely more than you can love a grandchild or your own child. Sometimes the grandchildren are easier to love, but don't tell anybody I said that. You have a Heavenly Father whose love for you is infinite. And any time he hears your voice, it touches his heart. You call upon me in the day of trouble. That's what he says. You call upon me in the day of trouble. In fact, Jeremiah 31 and verse 3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That's how I love you. With an everlasting love. Everlasting love. The Bible says his mercies never fail. They're new every morning. Amen? Amen. I want you to look with me to another passage. You still have your Bibles, right? You didn't set them down or close them up yet, right? Or zip them up. All right. I want you to look with me to Exodus chapter 15. This hasn't changed either. Exodus 15, I want to read a verse or so over here. People change, God doesn't change. Exodus 15, you there? All right, let's read beginning in verse 26. Verse 25 says he brought them to the waters of Marah and he proved them there. Verse 26 says, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and will do that which is right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I'll put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now that this is clearly a passage dealing with human sickness and suffering is indisputable, because he speaks here about the plagues, the sicknesses that he brought upon Egypt. He brought those plagues, he said, upon Egypt. He sent them to Egypt because they were wicked. But he says, if you'll be my children, which is what, of course, we are, right? And obey me and honor me and serve me, he says, I'll put none of these diseases upon you, which I've brought upon them. God says he'd make a distinction between the world and Israel, between the world, his kids and the world's kids. I believe our prayer should be, Lord, make a distinction between me and the world's kids. He says, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Literally, I am Yahweh Rapha. I am the Lord, your physician, the Lord that healeth thee. There's no expiration on that. No expiration. It's not a grocery store coupon with an expiration date. He's still the Lord that heals us. We can still call upon him. Somebody say amen. Amen. The world around you might change. I've seen a lot of things change. People change. People who used to like me hate me. Few people who used to hate me say, well, maybe I can tolerate him a little bit, but you ever have people whose attitudes change towards you? Boy, it happens. If you're in the ministry, it does happen. I think it happens to everybody. Look, it happened to the Lord. You have to remember that. If they, you think, well, why are people changing their attitudes? Look, They shouted Hosanna when he rode into Jerusalem. Hosanna, Hosanna, thou son of David. And a few minutes later, crucify him. Away with him. That's the same people. I mean, people change. Aren't you glad God's not a man that he should lie? They want to bronze you and then they want to stone you. You never know what they're going to do. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord is for you and he never changes. In fact, he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I never will. Some of us even can be fickle and moody, but God never is. Never is. He's always going to be at your side. And every time we meet, every time we assemble, the Lord's going to be present. He's always the Lord of the lampstands, present in the midst of the church, where two or more are gathered in his name, always present. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, I believe it's time for you and I to exercise our faith and lay hold of some of these exceeding great and precious promises. When you know that God doesn't change, he doesn't vacillate, he doesn't change his mind, that is a ground for faith. Because you know this is his word, this is what he said. It's forever settled in heaven, Psalms 119, 89. His word's forever settled in heaven. It's not going to change. We can lay hold of this with great confidence. There have been times, I'll be honest with you, there have been times I've gone back to the Bible and looked up a particular verse and said, yes, still there. Still there. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Still there. I can exhale now. Still there. He's going to provide. He's going to make a way. I'll tell you something else. It also means that the way of salvation has not changed. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, the way of salvation is not altered one bit. There's no new way to get saved. Say, oh yeah, but that was the old way, Brother Russell. We got a new way now. The new way, hip hop, rock and roll to heaven. There's no new way. There's no easier way. There's no harder way. There's no other way. There's only Jesus' way. He said, I am the way. There's no multiple ways. It doesn't matter what our pluralistic society declares. Even religion is growing more pluralistic. It's getting harder and harder to find somebody who will say that Islam and Christianity are incompatible. It's harder and harder to find somebody that will say, as long as you believe in God, doesn't matter which God it is, we all go into the same place. It's harder and harder to find somebody who will stand against that pluralism and declare in the face of it all, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. I saw a Larry King thing. It was just an excerpt from it, but he had a few evangelical leaders, and he was nailing them down. I tell you what, I was sure proud of John MacArthur, because he declared without blinking an eye, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Said, you tell him, John MacArthur. You tell him. He wouldn't back down one bit. They said, well, you telling us that the Jews aren't going to heaven? He said, I'll say it. The Bible says it. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said that. And you know what? I'm just going to believe Jesus. How about that? You can say that in the face of atheism, communism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islamism, or any other kind of ism or schism. Jesus said, I am the way. And look, the way of salvation has not changed. It's not cheaper today than it was 2,000 years ago. Nor is it more expensive. It's the same. It'll cost you everything. It'll still cost you everything. The way to heaven is still John 3:16. It's still Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, it also means one last thought. God's hatred of sin hasn't changed. If he's the same, that means he hates sin with the same hatred that he had in biblical times. He hates idolatry. He hates worldliness. He hates immorality. He hates every kind of ungodliness with the same hatred. Come on. You know it's true. He hasn't grown old, feeble, and tolerant where he just, you know what, none of that matters anymore. That's the way people are, though. Even a lot of Christians, they allow more stuff now that they were never allowed before. We've compromised. God doesn't change. He still hates sin, still hates it all, and wants us to have that same passion. We should be passionate for Christ, passionate for holiness, passionate in our opposition to sin till the day you die or the day you graduate to glory. The same passion, the same love for Christ, the same hatred for every kind of sin, every kind of compromise with the world, every kind of idolatry. Don't lose that passion. Jesus hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. Well, amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we pray that you would enable us to live our life with a holy fire and a holy passion. And Lord, with concrete confidence that you have not changed, you never change. Lord, let our faith be emboldened today. Lord, let our faith reach out and lay hold of your exceeding great and precious promises. Lord, promises that apply to every need in our lives. And Lord, as we stand on that promise, Lord, we know that you have not changed. Your will has not changed. Your power is undiminished. And Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for the weakness and frailty of our faith. And Lord, we pray that as we grow in grace, our faith would be emboldened to lay hold on every promise. Father, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.